Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Ready, break. All right, here we go. From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
See, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh my God, that's incredible!
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Action Network Podcast presented by FanDuel. I am your host, Chris Raybon, and this is your NFL Week 14 betting preview, where we'll talk about our favorite totals, teasers, money line, underdogs, and of course, crack open our weekly Sunday six pack of against the spread bets with the help of my co-host, the Prime Minister of Degenerate Nation, Stucky. Stuck, what's going on?
Had my second losing week of the year. I think it was the Jets was frustrating, obviously, another Vikings fraudulent win, but I thought the week overall was deserved. You know, you could say the Chiefs, I was perplexed by some of the Chiefs' decision-making and, you know, the Kelce fumble, but the Bengals, they dropped a wide-open touchdown. They went for it on fourth down at the end of the half. I think it was a well-deserved winner. Couple whiffs, and it wasn't a terrible week, but just like the, 8-0 week the week before, who cares? We're on to the next week. Let's try to find some winners for week 14.
Yeah, a couple whiffs for me, too. Felt good about, you know, how the Dolphins came out in that game, but it just unraveled quick. You know, bad cap by me. I thought Tua would be able to get the ball out, but he just looked so uncomfortable even when, you know, he was getting the ball out. He was just inaccurate in ways we haven't really seen him. So I'll take the L on that one. And yeah, the Titans just ran into a buzzsaw. I'm beginning, you know, the Eagles at home are a lot better too.
Burks getting hurt just crushes their offense. And then it's great gameplay by the Eagles, though. We're on to week 14.
Yes, sir. Let's jump into the Thursday night football game.
It's not the best game, but it's the only game tonight. Let's bet Thursday night football.
We have the Las Vegas Raiders going to LA, to SoFi, to take on the Rams. I will be at this game. Turner will be at this game, so it should be fun. The spread is 6.5 in favor of the Raiders. The total is 44.5. This seems like another one where it's kind of getting away from the Rams, kind of like that Seahawks spread. You know, you can't really point to anything in particular, in my opinion. It's like, oh, yeah, the Rams have a good shot here. But, you know, we talked about it last week. Just kind of feels like this is a big number here at 6.5.
I got nothing on this game. I mean, you got Josh Jacobs' quest. Well, the Rams' injuries are wild. Is Baker Mayfield going to end up playing quarterback? Wolford got upgraded today, so you would assume he plays, but who knows? There's just injuries now across the board, in addition to Aaron Donald, who obviously will be out. I do think it's a tad high, but I look for reasons not to bet Thursday night football. This game is a mess. But, yeah, I mean, the Rams are still competent. They're not tanking. They don't have anything to tank for. As I said last week, I had them plus, 7.5 against Seattle, which was never really a sweat. And look, they still played hard. They're still well coached on a short week. I think there's a coaching advantage here, which matters as well. But I don't know how much of a home field advantage there's going to be for this like dead Rams team against a team that's not far away. I mean, I don't know how much home field you can give, but Yeah, I think the line is a tad high, but lots of injuries to monitor and lots of uncertainty. Throw in the Thursday night, and this is as easy of a pass as I'll have all year.
Yeah, I don't have anything on this game either. It just, you know, that line just looks high. I feel like if I'm leaning,
yeah, I make it like 4.8 yeah, five. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, if you could buy to a cheap 7 or something, if it ends up keep going up, I would definitely look at the Rams. If you're itching for action, but hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, you know, I do think it'll be a good game for Davante Adams. The Rams play that zone defense, but, you know, number one receivers, they're bottom three in DVOA. You know, they don't really stop number one receivers even with Ramsey because they just kind of, they don't really get pressure and they just play this soft zone. So let's move on from this one. Don't really need to talk about it too much. Follow Stuck. At Stucky 2, follow me at Chris Raybon in the Action app and see if we have anything there. Let's jump into the Week 14 Sunday Six-Pack.
Thirsty for action? Let's crack open the Sunday Six-Pack.
.47/.40 I'm up after 13 weeks. And I got the first pick for week 14. For my first pick in the week 14 Sunday six pack presented by FanDuel, I'm going with the Carolina Panthers +4 at the Seattle Seahawks. And this one is just pretty simple to me. The Panthers are a competent team, pretty average team with anyone but Baker Mayfield on the field for them, and that includes Sam Darnold. When you look at Mayfield's 6.4 yards an attempt, but what really killed him was just 5.3 net yards an attempt. He was taking a ton of sacks, and he just didn't look right in the pocket. And non-Mayfield quarterbacks for the Panthers, 7.3 yards an attempt, so almost a yard higher, and then 6.6 net yards an attempt, which is, you know, over a yard higher per pass play. So that's big. For Seattle, I think that for the Panthers here, and I think this Panthers defense is getting healthier and coming together. I think the bye will do them well. Not only do they get to get healthy, but they get longer time to prepare for this opponent in Seattle. And, you know, J.C. Horn, he's going to be able to take away either Metcalf or Lockett. So on 361 coverage snaps this year, J.C. Horn has only allowed 138 yards receiving, just 17 of 32 caught for 138 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, 38.3 passer rating. So you figure most plays he's going to be either on Lockett or Metcalf. You know, obviously they'll move him around. Carolina plays some zone, but you know, that's better than a lot of teams can say when trying to deal with those guys. You're still going to have Burns to get some pressure, and this defense is pretty solid across the board when they're healthy. And, you know, they're 11th in EPA per play since Wilkes took over. So it's been a pretty good defense, even though some of the season-long metrics don't really back it up. They're also very strong in terms of yards per completion allowed, under 10. So, you know, this Seattle offense, if you don't let them get explosives and you can eliminate, at least on some of the plays, you know, one of their top two options, you know, this is not the Cardinals, so they're not always going to be able to use their tight ends like they did against the Cardinals. It's going to be tough. And then Seattle's going through some things at running back right now. They might not have Kenneth Walker, that's a pretty big loss for them because he just adds such an explosive element to their offense. He has an ankle strain. He didn't practice Wednesday. And DJ Dallas, one of the backups, didn't practice either. Travis Homer has a sprained knee, but he is practicing. But it could be Homer, Tony Jones, and somebody off the practice squad. And Seattle's averaging only 64.7 yards rushing per game over the last three, and they're 0-3 against the spread over that span. You say, okay, why haven't they been able to cover lately? Well, you know, without that running game, Geno Smith, he's been solid. He's been good even, but it puts him in a lot of third and long situations. Just not really an ideal situation for their offense. So I think Carolina can hang around here. I think they're a live dog. You know, their defense, last three games, 282 total yards per game and just under 13 points per game allowed. So I really think this defense is coming on and is going to make it a struggle, especially if Seattle can't get those, you know, couple of long Kenneth Walker touchdowns or just explosive plays that they usually bank on. So give me the Carolina Panthers +4 underdogs this year by more than a field goal with a total of 47 or less, which fits this game. The total is 44, 54 and 32 against the spread, 63%, 20% ROI. So give me the Panthers.
You are the Panthers whisperer, so I'm not even going to argue with you. That's the right side in this game. You and your boy Darnold going to war again. So I'm just going to move right on to my first pick and the second overall of the Week 14 Sunday six-pack. I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants +7 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Digging into the Eagles this week, just on the surface, I circled the Eagles after last week. Okay, probably going to get an inflated line after what they did to the Titans. Good sell high candidate. And I thought that, look, the Titans had a number of injuries. Their defense came and banged up. They had a couple other key injuries on defense. And then once Tennessee lost Treylon Burks, couldn't really throw it downfield. And I thought Philadelphia really did have a great game plan for that game. And also, I'm just not a believer in Tennessee. I didn't actually end up playing that game. I played it live, actually. I played it a little bit +11, which got crushed too. But I mean, if you look at this Eagles team, they've had these spots where they've been just looked like a juggernaut this year at home, but they've really struggled on the road. And Jalen Hurts in particular struggled on the road. I mean, they're 7-16 against the spread on the road since 2020. That's the least profitable team in the NFL over that span. They're 1-6 against the spread on the road against the NFC East since 2020. And I do think overall, like, I have Dallas is now with an injury to Jimmy G. We'll talk about that. I have Dallas rated as the number one team in the NFC. I dug into a lot of the Eagles metrics. And I mean, it's like, who's their best win per D? Like, if you look at DVOA, their best win is the Lions when, like, in week one, when the Lions were not even close to how good the Lions are now. They beat the Vikings. I had the Vikings ranked 20th in the NFL, my power ratings. They beat the Commanders with Wentz. They beat the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. So, you know, a lot of their numbers are being helped by playing some backups, some teams. And look, their overall strength of schedule has just been an absolute joke. It's one of the easiest schedules you'll see in the NFL. And what have they done on the road this year? I mean, they beat Wentz. Wentz pulled a Wentz, but they beat the Lions by 3. They beat the Texans by 12. The game was probably closer than that score indicated. They beat the Colts by 1, Cardinals by 3. These are not great teams. Divisional game catching 7 in December. By the way, if you just blindly bet home dogs of 7 or more this time of year, December or later, 55% over the past 30 years, about a 5% ROI. And for what it's worth, and this is goes back to like selling high on a team, in December or later over the past 20 years, teams with a 90% plus win percentage are 25-53-1 against the spread, 32%. So, I mean, everyone wants to back the Eagles right now, right? Everyone wants to back the team that's won 90% plus of their games, probably at the peak of their market value, which I think they are now. I make this line lower, which is the main reason for this play. How about when those teams play away from home in December or later with a winning percentage of over 90%? 8-32-1 against the spread. That's 20%. So a lot of trends here. They just basically go back to the fact that I think that the Eagles are a bit overvalued compared to my numbers. 7 obviously is a really critical number here. Eagles haven't been the same team on the road. Giants just find ways to ugly these games up, make them like 20-16, 23-9. Like, that's what this game will be. I would lean under here as well, which gives more value to the home divisional dog. Really important game for the Giants. I think that they can keep this close. Home divisional dog catching 7, selling the Eagles high here on the road. Give me the G-men.
Yeah, I think the key is the Eagles on the road. They just haven't been dominant on the road. They've just been a little bit more closer to the middle of the pack. And then, you know, some of these home games, I know they did lose the home game, what was it, to Washington? But generally speaking, you know, when you look at them on the road, they've been a different team. And I think that's the biggest reason here.
You know, home divisional dog catching 7, you know, in December, that's in the running. That's going to catch my attention, which is why I'm leading off with the Giants. Where are you going next?
Let's go with the Detroit Lions -2.5 at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Detroit. I really like this Detroit team, and I think this is a sharp line. You know, a lot of people look at it and say, oh my God, you know, the 10-2 Vikings are underdogs to the Lions, who, you know, a few weeks ago, everyone thought might be in the running for the top overall pick, but I think the Lions are the better team, first of all. And, yep. You know, the underlying metrics back that up. So we'll take DVOA since it's pretty popular. Lions 13th overall, Vikings 20th. Lions 9th on offense, Vikings 18th on offense. Defense, where everyone thought the Lions were just the worst in the league at one point, and they were. But, you know, they fired defensive backs coach Aubrey Pleasant. They've gotten a lot better schematically. Their young players are coming on. So now they're 19th. In defense, DVOA, Minnesota 18th. So it's a pretty much a wash, which.
But the Lions are trending up and the Vikings are not.
We've come a long way. Yeah. Vikings are actually 20th weighted. So yeah, Vikings are actually worst team on defense, which is pretty remarkable given, you know, it's pretty much like a 4 or 5 week turnaround there for Detroit. And then Detroit 9th on special teams, Minnesota 20th. But there's so many more things to like in this matchup beyond just Detroit's the better team. The matchup in terms of the scheme of Detroit's defense against Minnesota's offense is advantage Detroit. So they play the fifth most man coverage because they blitz a ton. They blitz at the sixth highest rate, about 32%. And first of all, Minnesota's allowing the eighth most pressure in the league at just under 25%. But Kirk Cousins has not been good against man coverage this year. And it used to be, you know, zones and certain type of zones used to give them problems. But this year, it's been the man coverage. They are 27th in the league in yards per targeted pass attempt against man coverage at 6.8. They're over a yard higher against zone and closer to the middle of the pack. And then you look at
it is a new offense. So they're,
exactly. So it's kind of some of the things we used to think about Cousins they're kind of flipped in a way. But he's not having a great. Yeah, I mean, even with all those weapons, the yards per attempt is low, the yards per completion is low. They're having to throw a ton to get their passing production. But against the blitz in particular, which again, kind of like the Giants, you just know Detroit is going to bring some blitzes. That's what they love to do with Aaron Glenn. Kirk Cousins has a grade of 52.6 from PFF against the blitz. That is 34th of 38 qualified quarterbacks. So he has not been good against the blitz this year. You know, not good against pressure, which the Lions are getting more of. They're up to the middle of the pack in pressure rate, which means they're probably top 10 over the last 4 or 5 weeks because, you know, they started pretty low. So this Minnesota offense, even though they have all those studs, doesn't necessarily mean it's a good matchup for them. Now you look at Detroit on offense, and Detroit can match Minnesota with firepower. We got DeAndre Swift healthy. He played his most snaps since week one. He had 18 touches, which were his most touches since week one last game. And he averages 6.4 yards a touch. So that's a major, major boom for them to have him healthy. Then you have the entire receiving corps healthy. You have Amon-Ra St. Brown, even though he took that big hit, came back, scored another touchdown in that game. You have Chark healthy and playing really well. You have Josh Reynolds healthy. You have Raymond healthy. And you have Jameson Williams healthy. He's actually ahead of schedule, got about 8, 9, 10 snaps in that last game last week. So what the Lions have been doing has been easing guys in that first week at receiver. And then they, you know, up the snaps in their second game. So Jameson Williams could be a factor in this one. And you add, you know, Swift, you add, you know, Williams is almost automatic at the goal line. And this Minnesota team, not great on defense. They don't really blitz a lot. They're 23rd in pressure rate. And, you know,
Goff, bad defense.
Yeah, that's the way you get to Goff, is pressure. He has a 109 passer rating clean, 61 passer rating under pressure. But Minnesota's, you know, bottom 25% in pressure rate. So it shouldn't be a massive effect here. And Detroit is at home. And at home, that's offensive lines usually play better. Detroit has one of the best. Detroit averaging 31.9 points per game at home, 18.4 on the road. So massive difference. The point differential at home, +4. The point differential on the road, -7.4. So an 11.4 point swing home to road for the Lions. So love them under a field goal here. Think they win this game. Think this is the correct line here, even though it might look odd to people. Give me the Lions -2.5.
I completely agree. By the way, teams with a winning percentage of 70% plus or greater in December or later over the past 30 years, 40% against the spread, as you might expect. The Vikings are 10-2 with a plus 10 net scoring margin. And the last time a team with its starting quarterback and an 80% plus win percentage was an underdog versus a team that was under 500 in December. The 9-2 Falcons with Mike Vick in 2004, they were short underdogs against the Bucks, the 4-7 Bucks, and the Bucks won 27-0. But yeah, I completely agree here. I mean, I think the Lions are trending up because their defense, they're getting healthier. You got to remember, they were playing without Swift. They had offensive line injuries. They're playing with without Amon-Ra St. Brown for a couple games. Let's just compare these two teams. Vikings 31st in the league in net yards per play. 31st. Lions 24th. You mentioned DVOA. Vikings 20th. Lions 13th. Offense, you said 9th offense for Lions, DVOA, and Vikings 18th. Same thing in EPA per play. Lions 9th, Vikings 18th. Defense, same exact story if you look at EPA per play. How about special teams? Lions even better in that department. So, like, just no matter where you look. And also, the Vikings are plus 8 turnover margin. They're 9-0 in their last 9-1 possession games. You know, they were blown out by the Eagles and Cowboys. They just get fluky win after fluky win. They should have lost that first game against the Lions. If not, they were down double digits in the fourth quarter. And if not for a busted coverage and a bad fourth down decision by Campbell. But I mean, they got outgained by 200 yards last week against the Jets. This team's luck is going to run out. I mean, no matter where you look, they are below average. I have them 20th in the NFL right now. It is bad. And the Lions are trending up, charging. I think they've covered 5 straight. They're 5-1-1 against the spread after the bye. The one game that they didn't cover was really a fluky loss at Dallas. Like, they were right in the game at the end, and they fumbled at the 1, and they could have easily covered that game. They were in a position to take the lead in the fourth quarter. This Vikings voodoo magic won't last forever. I like the Lions here too. It is an odd looking line, you know, but it's moved from like 1 to 2.5. That's not a huge deal. If it moves to 3, it will be. You want to get this under 3. I actually moneyline the Lions with the Cowboys in a parlay.
It's still the better value to get the 2.5 than to take, you know, whatever it is, like -135, I think it is, the money line. Like, you would still rather take the 2.5, even though anything under 3, right?
I would take the 2.5 instead of that in this particular game with where the total is too. It's a high total. But if you can find a cheap, you know, you're increasing your risk. I just don't see I did this last week. And by the way, I got lucky. Like, last week I got a losing week. I had the 49ers money line parlay with the Ravens. Talk about getting lucky with the Ravens. teams were, I think, 0-206 since 1995 without failing to score more than 10 points and a -2 turnover margin. And guess what? The Broncos found a way to end a 206-0 streak. So yeah, I personally parlayed the Cowboys money line. I just don't see the Cowboys losing with the Lions money line, but I don't mind the -2.5 either. It's a high total. The only thing that scares me a little bit is if you get on funky scores, because the Vikings special teams suck. And like, Joseph misses a bunch of extra points. So like, you could get a weird score going for 2, but it's very small percentage chance. I don't mind laying the 2.5 here. This Vikings stuff, it's got to run out eventually. We saw Mike White just move up and down the field, especially in that second half. We said, oh, look, Mac Jones after the bye, that offense looks a lot better. Well, that wasn't the case against the Bills last week. I think that was just more about the Vikings defense. Lions are surging.
Hello, Detroit. You've won my heart.
All right, where are you going with your next one?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
For my second pick in the 4th overall of the Week 14 Sunday 6-pack, I'm going to go with the Let's go with the Jacksonville Jaguars plus four at the Tennessee Titans. Now, look, there's a chance that Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, but from everything that I've read and people that I've talked to, I think that he's going to be okay. And Peterson came out today and said he expects him to practice later in the week. He came back in the game last week, led a touchdown drive. He only had three drives in the second half because the Lions just controlled the ball the whole time. But he was able to come back in. It's a toe. It's not like he's a receiver. So, you know, we've seen many quarterbacks play through it. It might be painful. But the fact that he came back in last week, I think he'll be good to go. You know, the Jaguars buying low on them after their embarrassing loss. We're going to get a tad bit of value, but the Titans also got blown out. So what's the difference here? Well, this Titans team needs to win with margin, which is tough for them to do. This is when you want to fade Vrabel when he's a favorite of over a field goal. And how you attack this Jags team is you throw on them. I mean, you look at they've been pretty much within one possession of every game this year. But the reason I like them against Baltimore is, you know, the Ravens don't have great receivers. They're not going to kill you on the outside. The Lions just shredded them. Goff, I think, was the number one quarterback in EPA per play last week out of any quarterback that played. And they just have an awful secondary. Well, what Tennessee without Traylon Burks, who I doubt is going to play, new concussion protocol. These receivers don't play a week after in general of getting a concussion. So they just don't have that downfield threat. And, you know, they can beat you with a little play action, but the strength of this Jags defense is their run defense. So they can load the box. It's an above average run D. It's a horrible pass D, but that's okay against this Tennessee team with a bad O-line. It's, you know, a hobbled. We'll see if Ryan Tannehill is fully healthy. Most importantly, it's the defense for Tennessee is just crushed by injury. I've mentioned how important I thought Autry was, and I mean, I thought he was going to be back like within a week or two, but it doesn't look like that's the case. He didn't practice again today. I didn't practice at all last week. So I would assume he's out. Jeffrey Simmons dealing with an ankle. I think he should have rested it. And now your secondary is getting decimated. You saw them last week. They're down to Roger McCreary and, you know, Trey Avery was getting burnt. Trey Avery's now hauled. Fulton is hurt. I mean, Molden is on IR. I mean, it is crazy. This is just a complete mash unit on defense. So divisional game, catching over a field goal this year, low total with all the injuries that Tennessee has. I'm assuming Lawrence will play. If he doesn't play, it's not dead, but I'm assuming that he will, and he'll have success with his receivers and ETN on the outside just because this Tennessee defense is a shell of itself. Jacksonville at four. Now this ticked up with the uncertainty around Lawrence, which I think is more noise than anything. Give me the Jags here catching four.
What do you make of the Jags' inconsistency? Like, this Jags team never seems to string together two straight good games because they have talent.
I think it comes down to the quarterback. Now, there's part of it is that their defense is the way that it's structured schematically and then where the talent lies, that if they do have a bad matchup and, like, a quarterback is on, they could get shredded, you know, through the air. But if they're playing an opposing offense that can't really throw it, that relies on the run game, they can hang. But then I think the most Jekyll Knight is just Trevor Lawrence is inconsistent. I think he's just inconsistent. I mean, you're not going to need to score a ton of points to keep up here. It's not like you're going to Kansas City. And at least this team's been scrappy for the most part. I mean, they haven't lost a game by more than 10. And all their other losses were by one possession before last week. And I think they just got caught in a buzzsaw after, you know, a big win against the Ravens. They went up, and I don't think they were really prepared.
The only thing I really can do is fade the Jags because I really have no feel of, like, when to bet on them. And I also don't have any feel on when to bet their unders. You know, I thought I had one with the with that Baltimore game. But, I mean, their defense is kind of – I guess it's what you said. They're just not good against the pass. But, I mean, some of the defensive numbers – honestly alarming too. I mean, they gave up 434 yards to the Colts. They gave up 436 yards to the Giants. I mean, I can never get a feel for this one, but hopefully they come through for you. For my third and final pick and the fifth overall of the week 14 Sunday six pack presented by FanDuel, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens plus 2.5 at Pittsburgh. And we'll talk about this number. I think there might actually be some value in buying it up to three, but I do think they win this game. So I'm going to go with the 2.5 for the contest regardless. But, you know, looking at Pittsburgh, I know Tyron Huntley's starting for Baltimore, but I think now's a decent time to sell on Pittsburgh. You know, they're coming off two straight road wins in one of the games. You know, the Colts, the corpse of Matt Ryan, can't get a first down until the second quarter. And in the next one, you got Marcus Mariota just finding ways to lose games, as he tends to do for the Falcons. But I just think this is a toss-up game. Baltimore is going to be very motivated. You know, Pittsburgh keeps inching past them and giving them these tough losses. So I do think you're going to see a great effort from Baltimore. And, you know, this offense has kind of been – you've talked about it a couple of weeks ago. This offense has kind of been stuck in the mud a little bit as of late. So, you know, going from Jackson to Huntley, I mean, now you have less tape of the quarterback. Huntley had a really good connection with Mark Andrews, so maybe you could get that going. So there are just a lot of things that I think make this kind of a toss-up game. You know, Baltimore's defense is coming on of late, you know, 13.3 points per game since they acquired Roquan Smith, 263 total yards per game over those last four games. And Kenny Pickett, he shows flashes, but he's still the type of quarterback that in this kind of game can easily lose the game for you because – Or maybe I put it a different way, not win the game because he is only Baker Mayfield is worse in passer rating from a clean pocket. I'll put it that way. 67.6 passer rating from a clean pocket is 36th of 37 qualified quarterbacks. So, you know, even if Baltimore's not getting a ton of pressure, which I think they're getting more now than they were earlier in the year, but this is the kind of game where, you know, the Steelers could easily score, you know, 10, 12, 13 points. And you look at Tyron Huntley in his career and it's been, you know, 2-point win, 1-point loss, 1-point loss, 3-point loss. Like every game is close. Every Steelers Ravens game is close, which is why I do think it might have, there might be some value in buying up to the three here. You know, Pittsburgh is, they average the fewest yards per attempt against man coverage and the third lowest against zone. So they're just, like this Baltimore defense has talent. They're getting healthier. It looks like Ronnie Stanley practiced in full. So I just think this Baltimore team, there's not a huge gap here, even with Huntley subbing in for Lamar. I think this is a toss-up game. I have it as such. And yeah, I'm taking Baltimore here. Expect them to finally win one against Pittsburgh or maybe lose by a point or two like Huntley does sometimes. But I expect this one to be close, as all these Ravens Steelers games tend to be.
It's Baltimore, gentlemen. The gods will not save you.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to carry some of that momentum over from last week. They were the fourth team in NFL history to lead by two possessions the fourth quarter of the first 11 games. The other three were 11-0. They were 7-4. Everything was going wrong at the end. And then they win one of these miracle games. So I think it was kind of like a sigh of relief to kind of steal one of those games. And I do think you're right on the defense. I mentioned this about a month ago. I think the defense is with Roquan Smith. They added some edge depth. They're going to get healthier, and their secondary is going to be fine. I mean, look at Marlon Humphrey, by the way. I mean, he's been absolutely dominant. He's about 325 yards all season, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's 3 sacks, 6 pressures, only 3 penalties all year. You could argue he's the best cornerback in the NFL right now. He played Courtland Sutton. No catches. Jamar Chase, 2 catches for 19. This is when he's in single coverage. Stephon Diggs, 1 for 17. Christian Kirk, 2 for 13. Olave, 1 for 7. Tyreek Hill, 1 for 5. Waddle, 4 targets, 1 catch, 4 yards. DJ Moore, 2 catches, 19 yards. He just locked up basically every receiver across the board. It's going to be ugly. I would look at this under. It just feels like this feels like the old classic Ravens games, the Ravens Steelers games. It'll be just, ugh. What's his total? 37? So low, but I'd still lean under.
Pickett's just been so erratic from a clean pocket, and Baltimore has so much talent on defense that and obviously Pittsburgh as well on the other side. I do worry about like turnovers deep in the, you know, the opposing territory because, you know, Tucker's not missing any field goal inside of like 60. Would you buy up to 3 like past like 120 or just
minus 125 for sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since 2008, when Harbaugh got to Baltimore, faves of more than a field goal in the Ravens Steelers matchups are 1-15-2 against the spread. 1-15-2 of any team that was laying more than a field goal. Now, generally, it's just like they're like 3.5 or 4, right? It's not like these teams have been separated by that much over the years. But yeah, 115-2 favorites of over a field goal in this matchup since 2008. Insanity.
Yeah, I think I am going to end up buying up to 3. Obviously,
yeah, I would wait. Just wait to see. Yeah. And then if you see it ticking down. But I do think it's worth it with this total and in this particular matchup.
And Harbaugh is 12-2-2, 86% against the spread when he's on the road in the division from week 10 on. So essentially on the back half of the season, including 4-1-1, 80% as a dog. And he's overall 32-22-3, 59% against the spread as a road underdog in his career. And Mike Tomlin as a favorite is 80-92-2. So all those stats we talk about, you know, with him as an underdog, you know, he's not very good as a favorite. These tend to be kind of letdown spots for the Steelers. So yeah, give me some Ravens.
I'm gonna cut you off because like when you're out of time, we all know it.
All right. For my third pick and the sixth overall of the week 14 Sunday six pack, I'm going with the Denver Broncos +9.5. I believe this is the first time I'm betting the Broncos this year. Taking +9.5, I will bet +9.5, but it's at 9.5 right now. So why bet it? I'm going to wait to see if it does touch 10. Obviously, a key number in a matchup where the Chiefs have won 13 straight overall against the Broncos, amazingly enough. I bet the Broncos when Russell Wilson didn't start and lost, but I should have won. But I did not bet the Broncos. I faded Zach Wilson. I want to make that clarify. But what do I say every week? Every Broncos game is the same. It's a replay. They lose in a low scoring game in the teens every week. They've lost one game by double digits, and that was when like the Panthers.
Don't forget about the Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers got
the Panthers. I believe were their biggest loss. You know, because.
Yeah, Panthers whisper. They've lost like 3 games in overtime. This is a team, by the way, they were just +8.5 at Baltimore, and they covered. So I had to upgrade them from last week. I make this around a touchdown. The under's 11-1 in Broncos games. That's only happened one other time in the last 20 years, the 2003 Bills. Mahomes, when you want to fade him, look, I mean, he's never lost on the road in division. He's 15-0 straight up. But when you want to fade him, it's when he's a favorite of 7 or more on the road. He is 7-0 straight up, 1-6 against the spread. And if you just look overall, that's in division games. If you look overall, that's when you want to fade Mahomes, when he's a favorite of over a touchdown. And so, yeah, there's just scripts. It's a home divisional dog catching over a field goal. The defense is playing lights out. They're going to show up here for the Chiefs. And one of the things I do like under Kubiak, like the results, because they changed play callers to Kubiak from Hackett to Kubiak, and the results haven't been there in the red zone and scoring, but they're going with just a much heavier personnel. And they're using like 3 tight ends and they're just running the ball going slower. And I think that can work, and, you know, using more play action, but Russ isn't getting hit as much. He's not having as many turnover worthy plays and they're getting more manageable third downs. Now it hasn't translated yet into conversion percentages in the red zone. I mean, it's amazing. Their red zone numbers on defense are ridiculous, and then their red zone numbers on offense are horrendous. It's why they're going to potentially lead the league in scoring on defense and be dead last on offense. But they're going really heavy, and I think that can work against this Chiefs defense. It's 26th in line yards, 26th in stuff rate. So you can kind of keep Mahomes off. You know, the Bengals kind of did some of that last week. But you keep ball control, keep that Chiefs offense on the sidelines, but the Broncos defense is just every week they show up and they ball out here. I think this is just a tad too high. I'm going to be waiting on the 10 here, but I think that the Broncos can follow the script and lose this game by 3-7.
What I'm struggling with here, are the Broncos the better play or is the under the better play? Because I only think one or two of the Broncos games have even gotten to the total at like 43.5. But, you know, then I'm looking at the Chiefs and I'm like, okay, well, you know, they go on the road and put up 44 in San Francisco, 40. They put up, well, like 41 on Tampa Bay. Like they put up big numbers on some good defenses. So then I'm like, I don't know. And then I look at the action app and usually like you see the sharp signal for almost every under worth betting. It's just, you know, sharps tend to bet unders because most of the public doesn't. And I don't see the at least it hasn't been hit yet. So I just wondered what your opinion is on that, because I'm guessing, you know, if you think the Broncos are going to cover, you think this game is going under.
Yeah, there's, but also if you, especially if I can get 10, then, and the total, I mean, it's just so hard to play Chiefs. What is the total sitting at right now?
43.5
Yeah, 43. I would lean under. I make it like 41.5 But if it's like, you know, 27-13 which is pretty comprehensive, and the Broncos have the ball late. I mean, even 24-13 and the Broncos have the ball late, and the Chiefs are kind of just playing prevent, and then, you know, Russ goes down and gets a touchdown, and then it's, you know, a 24-20 final, a 27-20 final, and that's what puts it over, and then you get your cover. So even if the Broncos offense doesn't do anything and they're around like that 10-13 but the Chiefs are around like 24-27 you could still easily get a cover in that, you know, especially if you're getting 10. So that's the only thing I would worry about. But I get your point, but there also could be the chance where you get a backdoor that gets you the cover, but also puts it over. Yeah, I don't hate the under here. I do think there's some correlation, but I prefer the Broncos just a little bit.
I mean, you're getting a lot of points in a low total game. So I get it. At the end of the day, you'd rather have the best red zone defense in the league when you're fading Patrick Mahomes. So,
yeah.
All right. That is going to do it for the six pack. Let's see who we got. We got some Daniel Jones. We got some Trevor Lawrence. We got some Russ, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, and Tyra Huntley. So yeah, we're back at our roots. This one.
It feels good to be back on Daniel Jones,
yeah,
Russ, and maybe some beat hard.
Yeah, man.
Love it.
I probably got your beat going Sam Darnold and Huntley, but I guess it's pretty close. But I am weighing points with Goff, so yeah, it's up there. Recap, Doug has Giants +7 hosting Philly, the Jags +4 at Tennessee, and the Broncos +9.5 hosting the Chiefs. I have the Panthers +4 at the Seahawks, the Lions -2.5 hosting the Vikings, and the Ravens +2.5 at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now let's get into our Week 14 coaches pep talk.
Every time we get ready to play, I just want to throw up. I'm sick of watching you guys play.
This week's coach's pep talk comes to us from the 1993 film Rudy, and we're dedicating it to Nathaniel Hackett, your boy, Stuck.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't gonna never happen.
Got to go back to him. Last week, we dedicated it to him. He got the cover. Broncos found a way to lose in inexplicable fashion. Wouldn't be shocked if that happens again this week. But we don't care about that here. Nate, what do they call him? Nate Hackett. Nate, I don't know if I doubt he goes by Nate to his friends. But old Hack, if you you can become friends of this podcast, you want to start covering down the stretch. Let's get to the window here.
That would be epic. Just the Broncos just continue to lose, but cover every game. I mean, that's kind of the game script. You know, it's not out of the question. Although, you know, losing by 2 scores to the Panthers kind of makes you nervous.
I mean, this team realistically could have 9 wins if they just had some semblance of competent offense. Now, injuries have crushed them too, but man, they've been so close because the defense has been that good. It's got to be so frustrating for that D and for fans. It's the same script every week.
So since November 2020, Kansas City favored by more than a field goal with Patrick Mahomes starting 8-21 against the spread, 28%. 2-6 this year. So we got a chance.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump into our favorite totals of the week. Got the miracle covers on the totals last week with the 2 division games, the Raiders and the Chargers, even though Keenan Allen made a crazy catch and just some notable offensive plays still didn't go over. And then, yeah, somehow the Giants Commanders just could not score. I think the Commanders had like this long drive that went absolutely nowhere and just milked half the overtime clock, and Giants missed a field goal. So yeah, let's keep it going. Where are you going for this week?
I'm going to go with Browns Bengals under 47.5 late season divisional unders. We talk about these a lot. Totals over 45 between division teams this late in the year, 60% over the past 30 years. But I like this because I show a little value in the number, and Bengals offense has been awesome. Burrow is, I think, has taken another step, and their offense has taken a step overall forward this year, especially if you compare their season-long numbers from last year to this. But the Browns have had their number. I mean, Myles Garrett has always wrecks havoc on them, and you know, Burrow's 0-4 against the Browns. I think he's failed to clear 20 points in each of the last three meetings. Granted, Chase didn't play earlier this season. But I think the Browns' defense can compete on the outside here. The secondary is playing pretty well. Their run defense is bad still, and they lost Taki Taki in the middle. I mean, you're down to Deion Jones, and it's bad. And so I think the Bengals are going to come out here and try to run a little bit more because it looks like Mixon's going to play. And that's when they're like least efficient on offense. But I think that they'll have some success running it, keep the clock moving.
Yeah,
I think
they give it to Piron. I mean, Piron looks better than Piron's Mixon this year.
Piron's been awesome.
Which is, it pains me to say, because he essentially ruined like half of my Super Bowl bets, but.
Yep, same. Yeah, and on the other side, you just can't assume that Watson is going to look good this week after what we saw last week. He looked lost. I think in the second half, they were like, look, we don't really trust the passing game. So I think they're going to lean on the running game here. And one of the most troubling things was that I heard that from few in the organization that like Watson was just really confused by the differing looks that Houston was giving him. It's like the different, like Houston, like cover Houston two. Runs basically just like their bare cover two. They were just moving some, like they were disguising big basic things. The Bengals, and it makes sense. Like he's seeing live action for the first time in like 700 days. That's why there's a preseason. It's like, but the Bengals do that as well as any team in the NFL, especially in second half. They change up their looks, disguise everything. Mahomes just talked about it again. It's why you see the Bengals constantly shut out teams in the second half. So, you know, it's going to take them some time. I said all year, it's going to take them a couple of weeks. And after what I saw last week, you can't assume that it's going to be any better this week. Could be a little better, but you can't expect the old Deshaun Watson. And so I think that the Browns are going to lean on the run game here. Big game for the Browns. I guess they could get back in here.
Yeah.
Bengals want to get their revenge. But I think it's going to be a more run-heavier game here. And I think there's some value in this under.
Yeah, it's a pretty high total for a division game. Just it's a high total for 2022, period. I mean, we talk about it. The average score is under 44. I don't hate it. I'll have something on this game in a bit. So I'll jump into my total. So it was between KC Denver, full disclosure, and this Buffalo Jets game. I'm going to go Buffalo Jets under 43.5. See if you can get a 44. That is the key number. But, you know, I just think both of these I just have a lot of respect for both of these defenses. And I think you have a few different ways that you can stay under this total, whether it's, you know, Buffalo kind of ends the Mike White hype and just wins like 30-3 or something like that. Or you get another close game where Allen struggles against what's probably the most well-rounded defense he's going to face all year. But these are both top six defenses by DVOA. Buffalo is fourth. They are seventh against the pass, third against the rush. And then the Jets are sixth on defense. They're fifth against the pass and 11th against the rush. Both of these teams also top 10 in pressure. So always like that. You know, even if you do have a good quarterback in Allen on the other side, the only way you're going to put a dent in his numbers is by getting pressure and getting it without having to blitz. And the Jets specialize in that. They are fifth in pressure rate, just under 25%, and they blitz at the second lowest rate in the league. And then Buffalo is up to 10th in pressure rate, even without Von Miller, because they are getting healthier on defense. You know, even though Miller's out for the year, you got a lot of guys that miss games that are coming back. And even on the back end, you know, they're able to hold up longer in coverage, which helps.
Trey White should be getting up to a full workload.
Just going to get to White. So, you know, we kind of under the radar played 16 snaps a couple of weeks ago in that Thanksgiving game. And then against the Patriots, he jumped to 33 snaps. So he should be fully up to speed now. You had the 10-day break and all that. And that's big because Garrett Wilson is a budding superstar. I mean, this guy, he had, what, $162 last week and should have had 250 and a touch. So anytime you can get cornerback help this time of year to face a guy like that, you know, that's going to be really important for their defense. Both of these defenses, you know, outdoors in a game where we could see some weather conditions here. Looks like you're going to see some precipitation. Looks like you're going to get winds up into the double digits as well. And, you know, that Jets pass defense, Buffalo has faced four other top 12 pass defenses. New England, the Jets one other time, the Packers and the Ravens, and they average just 23.5 points per game against those top 12 pass defenses. Against everyone else, just under 30 points a game. So that's obviously how you slow down Buffalo. But something else I like about what Buffalo is doing here that could help this under, and it could have been a product of the injury, the elbow injury, but I think it's just also a product of the recklessness. They're running more. And it's been subtle, but these last four games, averaging 27.8 design runs per game, and they're running about four, they're calling design runs about 40% of the time, about eight more runs per game. That's always going to kind of help bleed some clock here. You don't want to get into third and long against this Jet, even if you're Josh Allen, you still don't want to get in third and long against this pressure D. And then, you know, both of these teams also top 10 and fewest 20 plus yard passes allowed. And I think Mike White, I think he's going to struggle in this game. You know, he faced the Bears defense, which is dead last in DVOA. Minnesota's 20th, talked about them. And White faced this Bills defense last year, and that's where it really kind of all fell apart. Now, he averaged 5.7 yards an attempt on 44 attempts, ended up getting benched for Flacco late, no touchdowns, four picks. That was a high-scoring game, but that's because the Jets really didn't have a defense at that point. So I think, you know, being that he turned the ball
over.
The
Jets' defense was one of the worst in the NFL last year, not one of the best.
I think the Jets are going to play it conservative here. They're talking up Bam Knight. Maybe they get Carter back. But either way, you know, they're going to work in two, three running backs. I think they're going to kind of run the ball here. But you look at this Bills defense. I mentioned their metrics. They're top four on defense. Tre'Davious White missed 10 games. Poyer missed three games. Tremaine Edmonds missed three games. Gregory Rousseau missed three games. Ed Oliver missed three games. Milano missed a game. Some of the cornerbacks, I'm not even mentioning, because I mean, they've had so many guys out to still be a top five defense. So, you know, eight of 12 Jets games have gone under 44. And last week against Minnesota was one of the ones that did it. But that was like, Minnesota shouldn't have scored as many points as they did. The Jets allowed just 287 yards of total offense on 64 plays to Minnesota, just 4.3 yards per play. And look at Buffalo's defense, what they did to New England, 242 yards on 51 plays, 4.7 yards a play. So both of these defenses in tip-top shape. Maybe Buffalo blows them out, but I think then it's like one of those like 35 to 10, 35 to 6 type situations, or 31 to 6, whatever. But outdoor divisional unders, 62-38-1, 62% since the start of last year, 26-11-1, 70% this season. And again, there should be some weather in this one as well. So give me the Jets Bills under 43.5.
A pair of divisional outdoor unders for us.
Yeah. Yeah. To recap, Browns Bengals under 47.5 and Bills Jets under 43.5. Now it's time for our favorite teaser of the week.
Oh yeah. 6-point teasers. If you don't want me to, don't tease me. Don't tease me.
Try to please me. Where are you going for week 14?
Yeah, ideally you want to tease through 3 and 7 with both sides. I'm not going to do that here exactly. Well, I'm going to do that with the Ravens. So teasing the Ravens up from 2.5 to 8.5. Game with a low total where it's even more valuable to tease. And then I'm going to also tease the Bucks up. They're at 3, 3.5, almost as valuable. That's the next best thing you do, teasing a dog up from 3, 3.5 up. And the total's 37. Points should be at a premium in this game. It's Brock Purdy. Second game, you know, he looked pretty good coming in relief of Jimmy G, but he's obviously a 7th-round rookie. It's a big downgrade. This should be a low-scoring game. And then one of the other things I like is, like, you know, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback with these teasers, like if the Bucs are down 14, like, and then the Niners play prevent, like Brady's most likely going to go down and score the touchdown to cut it to 7. By the way, the only time the Bucs offense works. And yeah. There's 2 minutes to
first
go.
First drive and the last drive. Nothing so, to do with
you know, you have to, that's one of the things I actually do look for, and it just puts me over the top sometimes. It's like, all right, if they're down 14 late and need a touchdown, Brady will go down and get it against prevent. But I think overall this game will just be low scoring and a dogfight. So, yeah, Bucs, yeah. Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going the exact same one. Ravens up to 8.5, Bucs up to 9.5, because there's another 2.5 with the Vikings Lions game, but I actually like the Lions in that one. So not
good. And the total's high. Total's high.
Yeah, total's high. But yeah, in essence, you're essentially getting, you know, two dogs over one score in games with a total of 37 each in the Ravens, Steelers, and Bucks, Niners. So I think that's the way to play it this week. There aren't, you know, I don't fully trust the Bengals to win. Don't trust fully trust the Eagles to win. You know, these divisional games, you know, sometimes it can be tempting to tease it down from like 7-1 or 6-1, but you know, there's a reason those numbers are where they are. So I don't really trust those. So yeah, not many options, but yeah, both of us going Baltimore up to 8.5, Bucks up to 9.5. Let's get into our Moneyline Underdog Parlay.
Turning good weekends into great weekends. It's time for the Moneyline Parlay.
All right. So, yeah, we did not hit last week. With Houston, you had Houston. I had the Falcons. I think
Houston somehow gave up 28, the most points in NFL history, without allowing an offensive touchdown.
Yeah, nuts.
Two defensive touchdowns and a special teams touchdown? Like, come on. I was like, there's uncertainty with Deshaun Watson. He might look really bad. And the Texans are so bad that they're like, I don't care how bad Deshaun Watson looks. We're going to give the Browns 3 non-offensive touchdowns.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Where are you going this week?
All right, let's go with the Houston. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go with the I'm going to go with the Chargers at home against the Dolphins. Dolphins staying out on the West Coast for their second straight game. I actually see some parallels to last week. With the 49ers, the Chargers don't have as good of a defense, but they have a much better quarterback. And you can attack this Dolphins team with backs and short passes. That was one of the things I was telling you I was worried about with the Dolphins defense against the 49ers. And Purdy came in and did it. He went 25-37, moved the ball. Herbert could do that here. And it looks like Corey Linsley's going to play. That's massive. He is just he's probably the second most important player on that offense. When he's not in there, the offensive line completely falls apart. Zion Johnson's also day-to-day. I think he's going to go. We'll see if Trey Pipkins goes. Not as important as Lindsey and Johnson in the middle. Mike Williams might even go. And the Chargers' pass defense is much better than the run defense, which is important against Miami. And it's just Justin Herbert as a dog catching over 3.5. I see value in the number. It's down to 3. I took some 3.5 little juice during the week. If it gets back to 3.5, I would take it. I would still take it at 3. This would have been one of my picks at 3.5 in the Sunday six pack, but I like the money line too. Chargers defense in the red zone has been much better than Miami's in the red zone. And like, I just haven't fully bought in. Some people have to the Tua train. His numbers are so great, but like we went over last week, he, you know, 4 straight games against 4 of the worst defenses in the NFL. And a lot of it's scheme. Like a lot of it, you got to give credit to, and they also have 2 ridiculous wide receivers. The Chargers have some dudes on the back end. I'm sure Miami will be able to run it. They'll be able to hit some explosive plays. I think this will be a little high-scoring game. I don't hate the over, but Herbert, desperation mode, should have a healthier offensive line here. Keenan Allen's back. I think Tua looked better this week, but I think everyone wants to be like he either sucks or he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And it's okay to be in the middle for now, and we'll see. That's kind of where I'm at, but we'll see what he can do this week, and then we'll learn a lot about him in the postseason. Everyone doesn't have to either be a bust or a Hall of Famer right away, especially like this early.
Do you have any idea? Because I'm pretty sure Sharps hammered the Dolphins on this one. Hammering a favorite like -3 on the road, it just seemed odd to me. Any idea why? People seem to love the Dolphins so much.
You know, some of the metrics for the Chargers look really bad, and some people have them rated way lower than I do. I mean, this is still a team that covered their +3.5 at Kansas City, +5.5 at home against Kansas City recently, covered both of those games. But there are groups out there that are just really high on Miami and expect them to bounce back here. But I don't know. Last week against the 49ers, the Dolphins the 49ers ended up taking money. So
yeah.
And then Tua looks awful. So yeah, I was confused as well. I would be shocked if this doesn't close at three.
Maybe, sometimes these things kind of switch around,
Setting it up for later. Yeah.
So that's something to monitor. I'm going to go with Cleveland here at plus 205 for mine. And it's kind of simple. Joe, like you mentioned, Joe Burrow 0-4 against the Browns, and 0-4 against the Browns, who have never had a quarterback as talented as this. Now, obviously, he looked horrible last week, but that's kind of why we're taking a money line dog here. I mean, the Bengals are what, 17-3 against the spread their last 20? It's no point betting against them on the spread at this point, because I looked at that plus six, I'm like, probably a little bit high, but really. If you're gonna go in with the Browns, just go money line here.
There's such a wide range of how much better will Watson look this week, and that's increased variance, which is what we want with our money on underdogs.
It could be a letdown spot, coming off that win against the Chiefs. That's always when Cincinnati gets up for. So yeah,
They've had two big games in a row. Like they went to Tennessee, they had to win that game, and that was a hard fought game. And then Kansas City, right down on the wire. So yeah, they could come out a little flat. I could see that.
If you parlay Chargers plus 144 with Browns plus 205, it's about a 6.5x payout. 100 gets you back 744. And now it's time for the best of the rest games we haven't covered in any other segment, but are still, as they say, meaningful to some.
That's going to be a touchdown, but that may be meaningful to some of you. And you know who I mean.
We just got one. It's the Houston Texans at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 16.5. The total is 46. Anything on this one?
Is this really meaningful to some? Is it really meaningful to anybody? No, I mean, I money line Dallas, as I said earlier, with the Lions. I make this like around 15. I probably should make it higher. I probably just haven't down. I just can't downgrade the Texans enough each week. There's a lot of trends that would support backing the Texans here. I could find like a million, but I'm not betting them. Not betting this game. Nothing.
Dak versus sub 500 teams, 24-9-2 against the spread, 73%. So. It's actually trend supporting the Cowboys too. Yeah, I looked at the under for a second here. These Texan games tend to go under because they just simply don't score. But these Cowboy games, I mean, they could come out flat for a half and just all they need is a quarter.
They scored 33 against the Colts in the fourth last week.
It was like every time I would look down for 1 second to like look at my phone, look up, and there was a Cowboy streaking into the end zone. And like a backup too. It was like Malik Davis, and it was just
insane.
Now I've got a couple. Yeah. So
this game is awful. No.
Yeah.
No.
Davis Mills is back, by the way, starting. Kyle Allen experiment.
That's why I ticked down. I mean, he should be starting. He's a better option than Kyle Allen. I mean,
he doesn't turn it over as much. He's just they need to just get back to giving it to Pierce like 23 times and hoping.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, that is going to do it for the Week 14 Action Network podcast presented by FanDuel. For more of our betting content, be sure to check out actionnetwork.com or download the free award-winning Action Network app where you can follow our bets or track yours for free. Stucky's in the app at Stucky2. I am at Chris Raybon. You can find us at those same handles on Twitter as well. Until next time, let's get this money.
Gordon's.